Well, this morning, I want to continue with what we started on Ash Wednesday, which is how to make room for Jesus. That's one of the things we do during Lent when you give something up. If you've done that, the idea is to make room for Jesus in that place. And we're looking at the various petitions of the Lord's Prayer. And today we want to look at your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and how you pray that and apply that so that it makes room for Jesus in your life. And what I would like to do today is start with a quiz, a one-question quiz. It's not a trick or anything like that, but I just want to know what you think. So it's multiple choice, and you pick one. And this is it. Everyone worships A, sometimes, B, many times, C, all the time. Okay, everyone worships. It's everyone in the whole world who ever has been and ever will be worships sometimes, many times, or all the time. So who would say sometimes? Thank you. Very, very good. Who would say many times? Okay, here's many times over here. Two, three many times. All right. Who would say all the time? Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. All the time is the answer. Now, there are, of course, people will do acts of worship sometimes and acts of worship many times, but all the time, everyone is worshiped. There's ceaseless worship going on in everyone's life. All the time. We are created to make an outpouring of worship all throughout our lives. Everyone who's ever lived and who lives now and will live in the future that fills that category. The question is, who or what do we worship? So we're worshiping all the time. Worship is the continual outpouring of all that I am and all that I've been and all that I will become in light of a chosen God. Whatever God we choose is the God that we are worshiping. And, you know, who is that God for you? Is it a philosophy, an idea? Is it a person? Is it an experience? Is it a combination of these? Or what we're aiming for, is it Jesus? It could be all those things. And we extend the kingdom of the God that we worship. So if you're worshiping an ideology, you are being empowered to extend the kingdom of that ideology. If you are worshiping an experience, you're being empowered to extend the kingdom of that experience to others. To worship Jesus empowers us to extend the kingdom of God. Learning to worship Jesus continuously is how we make room for Jesus. Making room for Jesus in our lives is how we extend the kingdom of Jesus. Remember, Jesus on the cross quoted Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Meaning the whole psalm. And part of that is God is enthroned on the praises of Israel. That's where we get this whole way of living, is that on the praises of Israel, and we are the new Israel, God is enthroned. God is ruling. God is ruling over our worship. When we are worshiping God, there is a throne that is being made, and God is enthroned on that. And that's where God is ruling. And that happens with who or whatever the God is that we're worshiping. Now, of course, what we believe and understand is that in the end, Jesus will be the one who is enthroned over all. As it says in Revelation, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God. And that's where we're headed. But in between, you know, with free will, we are able to worship any God we choose. And we do. That's how it goes. So God continually invites us and calls us to be worshiping Jesus. And that's our call. That's why we're here. That's what we feel drawing us from time to time, maybe a lot of the time, wherever we are. So what we need to really catch hold of is how to be making room for Jesus and the kingdom of God. And that's where this encounter with the devil shows us a few things between Jesus and the devil. And what we see are the three temptations in the wilderness. You know, we fasted 40 days, and then it says he was famished. One of the greatest biblical understatements that we see written there. And there were other temptations. He tempted him with bread, tempted him with authority, tempted him with his identity. You know, are you really God's son? Is God really going to save you? Those kinds of things are what the devil threw at him. And I want to look at that second temptation today, the temptation to rule the world. Satan would give to Jesus all the authority to rule the world if Jesus would worship him. And you know, we're familiar with that. We've heard that many, many times. And of course, the devil is sometimes called the prince of the air, which is another way of saying he can do things in the world. We can stand up to him in the power of Jesus and be successful at that. But sometimes, you know, the devil makes a little bit of headway. But then we come back, and in the end, Jesus will be ruling over everything. But in the meantime, he went to Jesus, you know, first and says, you know, look at all this. Look at this entire world. Every kingdom that ever will be, you can rule over it if you worship me. And of course, Jesus would not do that. He would only worship God so as to extend the kingdom of God. That's the reason Jesus came, to extend the kingdom of God, to inaugurate it and see it spread. And so Jesus would not worship Satan. Because remember, the God you worship is the kingdom you extend. And Jesus was not going to extend the kingdom of the devil. So there's an assumption of the devil here. And the assumption is that Jesus would be seeking the blessing of God for his own benefit. Be seeking food so that he wouldn't be hungry anymore. Be seeking authority so that he could have a high place in the world, you know, his own benefit. Be tempting God to save him to just show that Jesus has a place to belong. And so for things like that is what was going on. The devil was assuming all these things Jesus would want for his own benefit. Because, I mean, he was in a pretty tough place at that time. 40 days not eating, no home, living homelessly, poor. Just all of that is going on with Jesus. And so it would be, the devil thought, an easy target for someone who needs to be blessed by God. And that was the flaw in the devil's assumption. Jesus was not seeking the blessing of God so that he could get himself out of a tight spot. He was fulfilling the call to establish the kingdom so that every family on the earth would be blessed. That's what it is. You remember the covenant God made with Abraham. He says, look at the stars, the number of the stars. That will be the number of the families that will be blessed will be greater than the number of the stars and greater than the grains of sand in the sea. And Jesus is fulfilling that covenant of Abraham. He was not out for himself. He wanted the kingdom of God to go everywhere. Now on Ash Wednesday, at noon, we had a great time, as we did at 7, and Marion asked, what is the kingdom of God? Can you define that? So here it is. I'm going to share this with all of you. What is the kingdom of God? It is the rule of God. It is God's authority. Now, there's other wider definitions of a kingdom. You know, sometimes a kingdom is the people of a country that has a king. Sometimes it's the land of the country that has a king. And that can be applied here with Jesus, but primarily, fundamentally, it is the authority that Jesus has. And when you enter the kingdom, what you are doing is this. You are inviting Jesus to rule over your life, over every aspect of your life. And when you're inviting Jesus to rule over every aspect of your life, you are in the kingdom of God. You are in the place where Jesus is ruling. That's the kingdom. Now, sometimes that slips away because we're not used to kingdoms. There's not that many kingdoms around anymore. There's the United Kingdom, of course, which doesn't operate so much like kingdoms used to operate, but you know, still, there it is. And maybe there's some smaller kingdoms around that we can't even remember, but for the most part, our lives are not part of a kingdom until we ask Jesus to rule over us. Then we're in the kingdom of God. Following after Jesus, wanting to be like Jesus, doing the things Jesus asks us to do, answering the call Jesus has on our lives, that's part of the kingdom. And what we do is we worship Jesus so that we can join in with every family on earth being blessed. We become part of the way that Jesus extends the blessing of God to every family on earth. And even if it's for us, just right around here. But that's been our vision for a long time, to invite every household around into the family of God. That is part of what it is to extend the kingdom. That is the primary thing that Jesus has come to do. So he conquered death and the devil so that that blessing of God could be extended into every household and every family. And we are the carriers of it, you might say. When we make room for Jesus, we're joining in that work of inviting every family into that. And then what we want to do is to be worshiping Jesus continuously, offering all of me, all that I am, all that I have, and all that I will become to Jesus in various ways. Any way that we think would be helpful, we would do that. Any way we think Jesus is prompting us to do that, we would do that. So, like, for example, when you step forward today for communion, when you're coming up, you could be saying in your heart or whispering or whatever it is, Jesus, I give you all that I am and all that I have been and all that I hope to become as I come to the table in the way that you asked me to. When you're driving somewhere, you might give that time to Jesus instead of to the radio. Or whatever you do when you're driving somewhere. Maybe it's making sure other drivers don't drive into you, but you could give that all to Jesus in that time, especially when you're driving alone. What I want to encourage you to do this morning is to ask him how he wants you to worship him today, now, all week, this Lent, any other time period you can think of. How does Jesus want you to worship him? What are the ways he's asking you to tell him, Jesus, or if it's helpful, Lord Jesus, all that I am, all that I have been, and all that I will become, I give to you. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've drawn us here today. We thank you for the love and grace and mercy that you extend to us. We ask that you would empower us to the extent that we are able to receive it, that today we would offer to you all that we are, all that we have been, and all that we will become, and all for the glory of your name. Amen.